How y'all doing? I see I still talk the same, and I see y'all do. I was just sitting over there because since I have seen y'all, there's been lots of stuff happen. And still got my same old Bible, you see.
Did we not take that off?
Hello? We did? We didn't. Okay. Okay, so it's 20 minutes till 8. All right. Now, I've been in Mexico for a number of months, and something really serious has happened to us. We've been blasted. You should see what it's like to have a couple of hundred of our national pastors in a pile, and God set down on us. Y'all gonna have to put up with something here. I've been touched. Since I seen y'all, which was 7 or 8 months ago, I think, or 9, something. I've been seeking God, and I went to God with a purpose. I didn't go with a blunderbuss. Give me everything you got, because you can't contain it in the first place. So I went out there with a purpose. I had our national leadership and our Americans that I worked with, and one Canadian. We sought the Lord in the month of September, the whole month. We fasted the entire month of September. And I have no idea where to start on this. So I've got a kind of an idea of a plan on scripture references and so forth. But I just want you to experience what we've been experiencing. It's called El Fuego del Dios Vivo. The fire of the living God. And I am overcome with it. I am saturated with it. I can't help it. What's going to happen to you? You shouldn't have come. It's not my fault. I do not accept responsibility for it. Because the last time I was here, and I still am lit up about dead raises. We've had a couple of new ones this week. And I'm happy about all that. We're blinded eyes, lame people are getting up. Demon-possessed are healed. Tumors are falling off. Deaf ears are opening. Tongues are loose that haven't talked in years. And all of that's happening along with this other stuff. And I didn't think it was possible. I don't have a handle on what's going on. I don't have all the theology figured out. I don't have all the scriptures down. I don't. God does. And so it's just like being new all over again. Just like being reborn by the Holy Ghost again. It's all new and fresh. And every time I look in the Bible, I cannot believe how dumb I was before this happened. Because more stuff you just absorb new things out of old passages that you know from little bitty. It's really something. It really, really is something. And so we started into this fast with an idea of paying the price. I decided in myself, and I set it up with our team a long time ago. This was about a year ago we set this up, wasn't it, y'all? That we're going to go into this fast. We're going to set aside an entire month, and I'm going to do it for the rest of my life now. I'm going to do that every 2 years for the rest of my life. I'll sit down, stop, close myself off by myself, away from my family and everybody else, alone with Jesus for a month. And while I was in there, the Holy Ghost touched me. I was sick for a long time with different kind of things, and in ministry you just got to put up with it. the attack of the devil, you say, no, I ain't got to. Well, shut up and show me what you got. Don't quote Bible to me. I want the fire on me you got. If you can't produce that, just shut up. Now, I don't like the way you're talking to me. I don't apologize. I've been with Jesus. I don't need flakes fooling with me. And compared to Jesus, everybody's a flake. Okay? When I got with Jesus, you'd think I'd calm down on my aggression a little bit. But what happened to me was, it intensified. We didn't like you the way you was. You're going to hate me the way I am now. Serious. I was laying in the bed on about day, let's see. It was day 7. I'm not going to get any arguing with y'all about how to fast. My way works. Okay? And I was laying there, and I go into these long fasts with the idea to do my best to not consume any water, food of any kind, any fluids, anything, as long as I can. Just sit there in a chair with my Bible and say, here I am, I send me, until he shows up. And I went several days in a row beyond the normal, what everybody tells me is the capacity to be able to survive. But I was still had, even though I was into all this stuff, I was real sick. So I was laying in the bed that morning. And I put on this, I don't remember which tape it was, some Bible tape was on. What is that thing we got? I don't know. It's a Bible, and it's got like birds chirping behind, you know, like if you was there. It's like if you was there. You know, you hear a donkey bray or a rooster crow, or it's like, you know, they're trying to really put you into, you know, I'm with Jesus. And Jesus is teaching me. That's how you're supposed to feel. But I felt sick. I was in the bed. And sure enough, I got thumped. God knocked me out of bed, and I was not only instantly healed, but I was there was something happened to me that has never happened to me in my lifetime. I don't know if you can understand this, but I'm not sure I do. But instant revelation, I was given thousands, maybe millions of megabytes of information instantly. Whoa! It would surprise you if God would allow us all to receive that all the time, how much you can absorb at one instant of God's touch. And Bible and scriptures and things begin to run through me that wow. And so then went right on through the fast, and I want to pray with you. I know we're up and down a lot, but like I said last time, y'all need it. So stand up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to be merciful to us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your word is holy. You are righteous. You are the only wise and true God. You are the only wise judge, and we submit to that. Help, Jesus. God, I have no idea how to present this, and I want you to do it. In the name of Jesus, grant it to be so. Demons and blockages of hell, the Lord God rebuke you. Cancers, tumors, blinded eyes, cataracts. The Lord God rebuke you. Fevers and distress. Stress, suffering, pain, mental anguish, any sort of demon, I rebuke you by the authority of the Holy Ghost that God has given to me. Through the anointing of the precious cross of Calvary, by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, grant the full power of your word, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would y'all please be seated? Now, I've only got three things written down here. Y'all can see it's a blank paper other than three things. Y'all see that? So I'm just going to write another one where it looked like I know what I'm doing. Let's see. Where is it? Let's go look. Go over here in 1 Chronicles with me a minute. I want to show you. I'm There's something I want to share this. Now this is, I don't guess it would be called a sacred thing to me, but it's a very, to me it's very important what I'm fixing to share with you. Because I know a lot of the teachings that are circulating up here in my country, and some of them go against what I'm fixing to say. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm here to receive with you. Okay? Please. Please, y'all, when I was here before, I asked y'all to do this. I'm going to ask you this time, too. Y'all are smarter than I am. Everybody knows that. We all know that. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to just act like you're supposed to for once in your life. Open your heart up and let God fill it up. Don't look for a point you can disagree with me on. Please. Look for a point we can receive together with. Please. You're not going to block what's fixing to happen. I don't care how much of that there. What do you call that junk y'all use up here? Charismatic witchcraft you pull on me. You ain't going to get it. Any black magic, green magic, white magic, it ain't happening tonight, buddy. No! Shanda, Shete, Kalaba! Shilibata. I'm not stalling, I just can't remember where I'm supposed to be. Thank you. So let's go. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I remember. I'm going to write it down this time. Can I have a little bit of your time to go through a couple of thoughts here? Because God has spoken to us, and I personally don't believe it's just for our work. I believe it's for anything we touch. If I didn't believe that, I certainly wouldn't be here wasting your time. In 1 Chronicles 21, there's something that takes place here that is very important. We're going to look at two times that God blowed fire down and consumed sacrifice. But we're headed to a thing about your heart. I want you to receive because if I could give what I got to you, I'd give it to you because I can get it again. I know how. But what's been given to me was given to me by a friend of mine by the name of the Holy Ghost. See, so I really would appreciate you receiving from him. Please, I don't know, I'll probably say that 10,000 times. With my Indians, they trust me to the death. Every drop of blood in their bodies, I own it. And that's a very important thing for me to possess. They each individually own every drop of blood in my body. So it's a mutual thing we have. And I went to these Indians in several leaders' meetings. God had the audacity to blast our leaders first. And then it went into to campaign stuff and went out into what we call the grassroots of our work. And I am so impressed that he would do that way. They weren't resisting my words. They trust me, and that's the end of it. Whatever I say is law, period. So I have to guard my words with them. And I'm glad I have to be on that kind of edge all the time. It makes me very sharp. I went into this first meeting there 40 there? 40 or 50 of our main pastors were there, and I just began to share of the touch of God, just like I'm doing with you. And I began to ask them, now we got to have this, it's got to happen. You guys don't have a choice here. You don't have a choice tonight, you think you do, because you've been taught you do. But if you want to flow with God, you've got to receive from God. Amen. Your way don't work. Amen. His way works. Amen. Okay? And they believed me. And the president, the Mexican president of our organization was the first one I wanted. Because he's a longtime friend of mine, 18, 19 years of ministry together. And been through every kind of other thing. I buried a couple of his children and cried and wept with them. And it's hard things to do those kind of things and keep on in ministry, you know, and keep the zeal and fire of God present and be able to go on and after burying your own baby and raise somebody else's from the dead. It's a hard thing, and we've done that together. I laid hands on this man, and in the whole time that I've been in ministry with him, I've never seen him act the way he did when I just touched him. And so I stepped off the little platform we had and got down there to another man that I've been with for about 15 years, touched him on the side of the head, and it looked like you took and shot him at close range with a 44 Magnum. I touched him in the head, and he looked like... I'm impressed with what God can do at close range. And then it went from there. And then it went into every pastor's meeting, because I was going into section, was having 40, 50 pastors in at the time. The same thing started happening everywhere. And then we brought them all together into one pile after they had all tasted of the fire. And the third, was it second or third day? Third day of our conference with all these nationals there. There was around 150 of our main pastors there. There was something happened to us, me included, that I've lived my entire life to see. October the 27th, 1995, I lived 43 years to see it. And I saw it. I wish you could have all been there. That's my only regret, is everybody I know wasn't there. God came on us in less than a minute. The entire place was slaughtered. It was amazing. I got to see it. We were running, trying to stay with the wave of God that came in. It was 10, 15 feet ahead of us and gaining ground. I couldn't stay with it running. It scared me so bad, because what I know about Indian culture was being messed with by the Holy Ghost. Now I'm caught between what I know is right for Indians and what I see God doing. What do I do now? Real simple. God says, get out of the way. He thumped me and I was gone. It's real simple. That's how you handle that. God said, boom, boy, you're in the way. Is that not true, Paul? I was so aghast and taken back by what God did that I started screaming at the American team that was like, get up here now, God's here. Boom, they run up there. I said, don't look at me. Pray for each other. Everybody's gone now. It was just like that. Fascinating thing. So I really want God to touch us that way here. God would give us that. But there's something you have to know about it first. He can do it without me even talking, but I want to talk a little bit. Fire is coming to this place tonight. The fire of God Almighty is already here. It's on me already. I can feel it, and I'm glad it's going to get you. See, right here in 1 Chronicles 21... I guess we'll start at 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar of the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. David went up at the saying of Gad, and which he spake in the name of the Lord, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel. Now you got to understand that all these people are seeing the same thing. See, in our work, everybody got touched differently, but we all felt the same thing. There were people laughing. There were people crying. There were people eating mud tacos. There were people trembling. There were people, I don't know, every kind of emotion, I guess, available was there. And it was presented. And I was just flabbergasted. Because I had never seen a display like that anywhere. Or even heard of it like that. There were four or five open, clear visions of God at once going on. There was prophecies going on all over the place. It was scary as fire. People were completely gone. They were hammered. And I want you to lay aside your frailties, your mistakes, your political ambitions as a Christian, your daily chores, your routine of stressed out American materialistic demonic life. I want you to lay those things on the side, because tonight we're going to receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because see, we're going to build an altar. And it's going to be us. And we're going to ask God in the next couple of days, here's what I know about what I've been seeing. Don't go anywhere. Stay. Because you may not get the full blast at one service, but if you'll come, you'll get it in a minute. We found that to be true in the last few weeks of what we've been seeing. Some of the most reserved people I've ever seen are acting like fools. It's incredible. I know those Indians. I've been living with them for 20 years. They don't act like that. They do now. So David goes up there, see, in verse 21, David came to that guy, and that guy looked up at David and went to the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face on the ground. David said to him, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I can build an altar there unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me at full price. See, David was a man that was, all of us know he made mistakes, but he was always had his heart toward God. Always. He made tremendous errors and mistakes, and we're going to understand how God could put up with it because his heart was after God's heart all the time. Okay. David was willing to pay the full price. Mark that in your Bible, because you're not willing to do that. That's why you don't have what David got. Let me say that again. I don't think you heard me. David was willing right there. I want to pay full price. David didn't know what was fixing to happen to him. But his heart was willing to pay full price. He didn't want something for nothing. He didn't want the get-rich-quick scheme with God. He wanted whatever was necessary to pay, pay it. So the guy gets up and says to him, No, David, I'll give you this thing. King David said, look at this, verse 23. Take it to you and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes, and I'll give you the oxen. Look, I'm going to give you the ground, I'm going to give you the rocks, I'm going to give you the oxen, I'll build it for you. That is the right heart from that man. See, whenever the king, God's man, comes, nothing should be denied to God. That's the way it is, but that ain't the way it is here in this country. It's if it pleases you and you feel like, well, you're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. It's error. Now watch. And it says right here, it says, take it and I'll give you the oxen, the burn, the instruments of wood, and the wheat, and the offering. And I'll give it all to you. Look at that. I mean, what a heart, huh? But that wasn't David's idea yet. He said, king said, oh, no, uh-uh. But I will verily buy it at full price. That's the second time he said it. See, without you willing to pay the full price, you won't get what David got in the next couple of verses. You think you can get it by various means. Teaching tapes are fine. You can't get it there. Books are fine. You can't get it there. You have to rend your soul on God's altar at full price or you're not getting it. And that's fasting and prayer. That's self-sacrifice. That's martyr. That's every one of us saying, I decide to give my life to God regardless of the cost. And so that's why I was going there. So David gave Ornan, look at this. Got to look at one more phrase first. It says, no, but I will verily buy it full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor burn offerings without what? There you go. See, I'm an American. I know how we think. We want the best we can get for the least amount of payment. That's the way we operate. That's the way we think as a nation. That is demonic. You want the best? Pay for it. You want God's anointing and God's fire and zeal, and you want the dead raised? Get out here and pay the price. Or shut up crying to me that you ain't got it. Because it's available. So let's pay it. And let's do it gladly. Highball to eyeball with me. No. But I'll not take it that way. I ain't taking it behind the back. I ain't taking it at shortcuts. I'm going the full term. I will submit. And that's what David did. So he paid it. Then he went through the whole process of building an altar, and he offered a burnt offering, a peace offering, called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven with fire. With what? You want the fire? Pay full price. You can have it. I ain't going to give it to you. I'm just going to show you that it's in that book. You pay the price, you can have it. Otherwise, quit crying. Cry, babies. I'm going to show you another little secret here. Let's go to Zechariah. This is the word of the Lord. I'm coming to you with much... I have much fear in my heart. I really do. I know I'm saying some straightforward stuff, and I'm not telling you a whole bunch of exciting miracles yet. But just hang on. Who knows what we're going to get to. Zechariah chapter 10. Who has a... Anybody have an Amplified Bible in here? Can I bother you and use it just for a minute? Maybe a few minutes. Is that all right? Somebody will let you look on with us. Did you find Zechariah? Good for you. Oh, boy. He found the hard one. Okay. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord what? What have we been singing about? What them guys had tonight about the glory of God and about the rain. I ain't seen them guys till I walked in here and saw them on the platform. Nobody knew what's going to happen tonight but Jesus. I didn't call these guys up and say, hey, get me a particular bunch of songs out, you know, and let's trick these people into thinking we're listening to God. I know, not here, though. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord may shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone in the field. Now, in the Spanish, it says things a little bit different. It says it more like it does in Amplified. I want to read this to you. Because there's a particular process here that we need to see. God spoke this to one of the more timid men I work with. God gave him this verse, and it's directly what's fixing to happen to our ministry and other ministries around the world. Okay? It says, ask of the Lord rain. How long have you been crying out for the touch of God? For His presence, for His rain, for the dew of heaven, for the glory of God to fill the earth? How long? Some of you can say, years I've been crying out to God. All right, well, the next thing it says, you know, the first thing to do is ask. Okay, we got that covered. I guarantee you. In here, everybody's asked millions of times. All right, it says, it is the Lord who makes the lightning, which ushers in the rain and give men showers of it, and everyone grass in the field. There's three steps right there. Number one is ask. Number two is receive. And number three is prosper. See, we ask God and He brings the lightning. Now, in our ministry, we know we're in the lightning stage. Lightning bolts are falling out of the sky. I'm telling you, it is phenomenal when it hits people. God hits somebody square on the top of the head and there ain't no telling what they're going to do. I can't predict it. But I just know that everybody that has an open heart does receive. And it is like lightning running through their souls. But before any great rainstorm, there's lightning usually. After the lightning comes the rain. The rain, it soaks, it softens, it brings forth new growth. The lightning comes and it's all over the place, sporadic. It's preparation for the rain that's coming. And that's what we're in right now is the lightning. But we're headed to the rain. And right after the rain comes the prosperity of that the rain produces. We're fixing to go through a stage now. I don't know how many years this is going to last. I don't know how long the process is going to be. But I just know that we're in the very beginning stages of it. And I'm thankful to God that He let us see it. In His book. Go with me to Habakkuk chapter 3. Can I use your book again? Now, I'm going to be reading out of this one here. It's more like my Spanish Bible is the reason. They translated our Spanish right from the Greek, and it's different than this thing here, than this Bible in English. Habakkuk. Is that how y'all say that up here? Or you say Habakkuk? Does it make any difference? Turn to page 1053. Chapter 3. I am really nervous about how y'all going to take this. because this is so precious to me that God would touch me. This I've been in this ministry a long time, seen all these great wonders of heaven, and I'm so astounded. I'm sitting here, and I didn't think that I would ever make this statement to you. But the dead raisings we're getting to see are very pale compared to this glory we're seeing. I didn't think it was possible. I went after that thing of getting these dead up so long, and it was such a thing with me to have it and to walk in it and to continually see it that it obsessed me. It really did for years. And now we have it going on, but the glory that has fallen on us, the fire and zeal of God that has consumed us, it's those mighty miracles are great and wonderful, but the touch of God is so much greater. It's amazed me that I didn't think I'd ever say that to you. But I know it's true. It says right here in verse, what are we doing? Verse 3. Habakkuk 3:3. God approaching from Sinai. Look out, he's on the way. Came from Teman, which represents Edom, and the Holy One from Mount Paran in the Sinai region. Selah. Stop and think on that comma. His glory covered the heavens. Did we not sing about that earlier? And the earth was full of His praise. Did we not sing about that earlier? Next verse, please. And His brightness was like the sunlight. Oh, God. Here we go. It says, rays streamed from His hands. And there in the sunlight splendor was the hiding place of His power. I have seen the lightning of God. I have been in a service where one of my little Indian brothers, a place called Villahermosa, his name is Hermano Alfredo. He's over a couple, two or three churches, and he's just a fiddle player, you know, just a preacher, just an Indian. And when the Holy Ghost fell on us the other day, he was standing there, conscience. He called me over, Brother David, come here. I went running to him. What's the matter? I mean, I'm talking to him, just eyeball to eyeball. He said, look at him. I said, look at who? Look at God, he's standing right there. I said, wow. I didn't see him. We were standing inside of a white marble palace. Now, he was there and said I was with him. I was standing on the dirt that I could see. God had in His hand the list. And as God would touch His hand to that list, He would tell me God's touching the list. And then I would see 10, 15 people, 5, 3, 2, 1, get blasted. Bam! And then He would tell me He's doing it again. Boom! And I was afraid it was my turn on one of them touches. We were in a little sphere of power because I have no idea why God allowed myself and one of the other brothers I work with. We were standing this close to that guy talking to him, and he was in there. He saw it. While we was talking to him, he was seeing it. He could see us in it. I couldn't see it. Some other brothers tried to get to us. They couldn't make it because God didn't let them get close to us because they hit a force field and they'd hit it and boom, they'd be knocked out. Boom. All around us. It was tremendous. Sounds like a movie or something. But this really did happen. And then all of a sudden he started getting drunk and poof, he was gone. These things are wild to me. And I want you to receive it. Hallelujah. You're going to have to breathe it in. Because it's here. The sun-like splendor was the hiding place of His power. Before Him went the pestilence, as in Egypt, and burning plagues followed His feet, as in Sennacherib's army. He stood and measured the earth, and he looked and shook the nations. And the eternal mountains were scattered, perpetual hills bowed low. His ways are everlasting, and his goings are of old. I have had the great pleasure to be in the presence of this God. And it's a daily thing now. Y'all don't know this, but I drove all night long a couple of nights ago to get out to come here. I walked for hours and hours and hours that day to get to my truck so I could come here. I was up in the mountain, what we call a zone. It's an area of great persecution. Very dense communist activity. A lot of people, they threatened to kill us hundreds of times, and they sent me a message, if I came back, I was a dead man. So I went up there and told them I'm back. Let's see if you can kill me. And they couldn't, because I'm here alive. Because God stayed the devil's hand. 1 Kings. Now we're fixing to talk about something that I have found to be very special to me again. These little scripture verses I'm sharing with you are things that God has specifically spoken to us to allow His glory to fall in our midst. And they work every time. We specifically went to God with a list of things during the fast. We came out of the fast. I had no idea I had been touched that way. I didn't know it. All I'd been is up there with Jesus in the room. I had no idea. Brother Ron, I had no idea. I didn't know. And Brother Steve came down and did a thing with us, and man, the glory of God hit that church. We have a church in South Texas. And he came and helped us do a conference, and boy, it was good, and thank you, Jesus. But I had no idea what would happen when I went home to Mexico to my big work. I didn't know. You know, most people you'll get around that get touched from God, they know all kind of things. I don't know all kind of things. I had no idea that when I got there that the glory of God was going to hit everybody and knock us off the flip. I'm not an easy man to deceive. I'm real conservative, and I've usually got things around me under control. So I'm real aggressive. And I don't take kind of people messing with me. God don't care whether you take kindly to it or not. The first time I got thumped, I didn't even know I was out. I was praying for somebody and woke up on the ground after a while. Never knew I had passed out and was gone. My mind says I'm still praying for somebody. I wake up and I'm looking at the sunshine. And now it gets so that I can't even hardly minister anymore. And I like that. Yeah. I have to hold on to stuff to be able to keep praying for. It's nice.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I like being a fool for God. Remember that old thing way back in Whose Fool Are You? Remember that way back in? That's true still. You're going to be somebody's fool. Might as well be for God. Sheesh. Where are we? 1 Kings 18. I can't get over all the things that's happened, and I'm so blessed that I was part of it. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions because they're already in here. See? So it's not really me asking them, all right? Let's just act like God's here asking them. I am by no means a God, but God's Word is very powerful. So let's just say God's telling you these questions. And I'm not going to put up with you not receiving. I'm going to beat the fire out of you if you don't receive. There's something. You know, did y'all remember last time I was here, I was being really calm with you? That's gone, son. No, something happened. Because somehow or another, I like hitting men in the chest. Ooh, just hard as I can. And this handkerchief right here, son's loaded. You'll see in a minute how loaded it is. Something telling you, ain't it, Paul? Got you, didn't it? Don't worry, women, I won't hit y'all. I'll be nice to you. Men, you're in trouble. 1 Kings 18. Verse 20. I want to just take a couple of minutes here. So I'm doing real good, see? So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Y'all know this big showdown and challenge, but there are some good questions in here and there are some good answers. Verse 21, it says, Elijah came unto all the people. Now, this is my first question to you. You know, my English is doing really good, didn't it? I'm impressed. I haven't lost it once. Thank God. When I preach as much as I have been in Spanish, I'm amazed. This is really the Holy Ghost. Me, let me. I always lose English. Thank you, Jesus. Shit, T. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, now, let's just pretend, because y'all like to pretend here in America. Y'all pretend you're saved, pretend you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Y'all pretend all kind of stuff. You pretend God touches you, you act like you see somebody over there wiggling, you wiggle just like it. So let's just pretend. Y'all are really good at that. Better come get your Bible. Because this looks like mine. It might go in my briefcase. I'll bring it to you. Thank you very much for letting me use that. Might need it in a minute. You going to be here tomorrow? Good. Bring that Bible, will you? Yeah, don't. You need at least three services. Good question. How long halt you between two opinions? I've made my decision, and I'm trying to talk you into making another decision for yourself. You know, a lot of you people, I know y'all. Y'all know I do, and I know you to be good, faithful people. I know that. That's not my question. But I know that there's a thought up here messing with you all the time. Is this really real? Is there really another step? Is it really necessary for all this foolishness? Yes, it is. It's necessary. Do you remember me telling you about the little boy I got out of the garbage dump? Luis Alberto, my little six-year-old boy. Remember me telling you all about him? Good. He got born again in the El Sabino campaign. It's one of our conferences we just had. 6 years old, got born again one night. Boy, I was so happy I went to him. I said, man, you see all the glory of God around you, son? Your whole little bit of life, you've been going with me to church out here. Don't you need to love Jesus to get born again? He said, yes, sir, I do. I brought him up there. We led him to Jesus. We laid hands on him. Thank God he got born again. I was so blessed. That blessed me. But then the very next night, he was over there and I was watching him. He was looking at me. And I went over there with my little handkerchief because I gave him one. He's got one just like mine. I'm teaching him how to use it. His only has 110. Mine's got 440. And y'all think I'm joking? You'll see in a minute. I touched that little boy. Look, a six-year-old kid. Just touched him on the cheek. Just said to him, Holy Ghost, I was not prepared for the next step. That kid blew backwards, 6 years old, and for the next 2.5 hours, he was as limp as this rag right here. Wailing, out of control, sobbing and moaning in the Holy Ghost. And I'd be across the thing over there and I'd look at him every now and then because I was nervous because I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And he'd be calming down. I'd just simply go, Holy Ghost. And there would be a whole bunch of 200-300 people screaming and hollering. And that Holy Ghost would go over there, pop him, and he'd go again. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. I mean, 6-year-old kids, 100-year-old people, everybody's getting it. Everybody. Doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord. There's one guy, his name is Juan Ibarra. He's been saved probably 35 years. He was in another movement, came to ours. And he was there, and I especially wanted him because I wanted him, that's why. And so I looked around for him, and I found his face in the crowd. And I zeroed in, put that, what do you call them things, them guns, that scope. Yeah, that's what you call them. Yeah. And I went over there to him, right straight to him, touched him, and I mean, I touched him with my hand, and next thing his heels are in my face, and he bumped his head on the log, and he stayed there for a day and a half. That's not an exaggeration. And when he got up, he was a carrier of the fire of God. See, it ain't good enough to receive it. You got to carry it. If you ain't going to carry it, don't even mess with receiving it. Because there's a world going to hell, and while you're playing games and being fake and wanting your own special little goosebump touch, forget that. That ain't what we're after here. We're after you getting radically touched and transformed by the fire of the cross. You understand that? You got it? So we can go in the world for Jesus. How long are you going to halt between two opinions?
Please make a decision. Make it tonight to receive and then to carry it out. It says, if it be for God, follow Him. Do it with your whole heart.
Yes.
If it's for Baal, for heaven's sake, be good at it. If you decide to be a devil, be the best devil there is. But don't act like you're for God and walking with Baal. That's a great question. Then said Elijah to the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them give two, and so they went ahead and they got all this stuff. They built their thing. They laid the wood on there, but put no fire under it in verse 23. It's very important. Because see, I'm going to challenge your Christmas tree devils and your Halloween jack-o'-lantern devils and your bunny jack-rabbit devils that come around April sometime. I'm going to challenge them. You get up with your devils and let's see where the fire is. And I'll get up with my God and show you where it is. You idolatrous bunch of devils, I rebuke the devil. And I am serious. I'm serious. We've got to learn to submit to God's fire, not the fire of the devil. Because we found to be three fires in this thing so far. There's God's judgment fire. There's the fire of the devil spoken of in Ephesians 6. And there's the fire of the Holy Ghost. You're going to be in one of those fires. You have no choice. One of them's got you. I gladly choose in Jesus' name the fire of the Holy Ghost. So he told them, put them on there. And it says in verse 24, and call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of my God, the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let Him be God. That's what I want you to do tonight to get this thing kicked off. We want to just challenge a few demons. I do. I rebuke them. Right. Can you tell I'm not afraid to challenge them? Not at all. I've been with some of the best witch doctors in the world, and they lost the other day. Do you think I'm afraid of your Christmas tree devil? Get out of my face. Come on. Come on. I've been with some of the best devils around. Your little old puny Christmas tree demon is going to scare me? I don't think so. Boy, that guy's got nerve. No, I got the Holy Ghost. Baal calls it nerve. God calls it fire. See, and it says right here in verse 24, and all the people said, so be it. Good idea, isn't it? Yes, and Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you out your bullock. Let them have the best bullocks. Let them have the best spot for an altar. Let them go first and gave them the most time. All day from the morning to the evening. And he told them, what's the matter? Your God on vacation? What happened to him is he sleeping. Maybe he's tending to other business. He can't hear you ain't screaming loud enough. Maybe you guys need to cut yourself along with them cows. So he probably, I just myself could see this old man. He's a lunatic. Here's a sword. Cut yourself. Maybe your God will listen then.
Yeah.
Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. How many times he said that now? Several times. And they took the bullocks and they did what he said, and the old Baal hears, but oh, there was no voice. They leaped up and down. Can you see these people leaping up and down on the altar and screaming and crying and belly aching and moaning? Sounds like Americans, don't it? My God. Verse 27, and it came to pass, here's another one I want you to pay attention to, please. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. That's another thing y'all don't allow me to do, is mock the devil. I am not by any means Elijah. I would never put myself in that category, but I rebuke the devil. I mock the devil. Brother David, shouldn't you be careful? No, you should be. I'm not afraid of him. Baal cannot get me because he's the devil's fire. He has no place in me or my house. So I don't fear it. I fear Jesus because he's the Holy Ghost fire. Yahoo! Okay then, here we go. Y'all knew it was going to be serious. What'd you come for? I told you not to. Yeah, we're going to get it too, I promise. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Please, Holy Ghost. Look at him, he's sleeping. Wake him up. Verse 28. They cried aloud. They cut themselves and knives and lancets and blood gushed out on him. It came to pass when the midday was past, the prophet said, "Oh boy, oh boy, even sacrificing." Neither was there any voice, nor answer, nor any that regarded. Elijah said to the people, "Come here." And then he took the altar and he prepared it. Now he's by himself. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now that's the next thing we're going to do. We've made our decision now. I have. And we're going to repair the altar of the Lord, and we're going to do it tonight. We're not going to wait till tomorrow. You're going to decide tonight, yes, and you're going to do it tonight, yes. Now, if you resist, that's your business. It really is. But please don't resist. Let's take the breaches. Let's take the things that have put distance between us and God, and the altars of God, and the firebrands of the Holy Ghost. And let's repair the breaches. There's things, there's sicknesses, there's diseases, there's politics, there's divisions, there's contention, there's strife. These things are sent for the purpose of destroying you and tearing down your altar with God. So that He won't answer you by fire. So you'll have to compromise. That's the whole idea of it, you see. All right, at the end, and it says right here, it says, where are we? Let's see, verse 31, right? Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar and engraved as would contain 2 measures of seeds. And he put the wood in order. I think you're going to like this. God told me something about these next few verses. I think you're going to be highly impressed and touched. Some of you are going to begin to feel it as we go now. It's time. Yeah. I don't want you to resist the Holy Ghost, please. Don't. If you feel some motion coming on you, do not resist it. God will not bathe you with strange fire. We're asking Him for His holy fire. He's not going to destroy you, hurt you. He's for you. He's with us. The devil don't want me telling you this stuff. The obstacles that tried to stop you from coming here were placed there on purpose by the devil. He tried to take our plane out of the sky today. We bounced several hundred feet several times. But that's okay. We made it. Because you see, there's something here to be said. I want you to listen close. And he put the wood in order. It's got to be repaired. And things put in order. Okay? What a God. I like Him. Fill 4 barrels with water. I mean, can you get the nerve of this old guy? Jeez, what a nut. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice. And on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. That's 8 barrels of water. And they did it a second time. And do it a third time. That's 12 barrels of water. How's it going? See, every rock had to have its own barrel. Wow. And the water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. I ain't never seen nobody that kind of nerve in my lifetime. In Jesus' name, I will grow to be that powerful with nerve against the devil. I will have the audacity to stand for God against an entire sodomite nation and against hundreds and hundreds of prophets of the devil, and stand with the zeal of God burning my soul and tell them, throw water in the trench too. Because there's something I've been shown here, Brother Ron, and I want to submit this to you guys. I really think it's right, though. Because there's something fixed to take place here. The water ran down about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the evening time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Lord God of Isaac, Lord God of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. God is God of America. You don't have the right to think that you can't receive because you're who you are. If you ever get a vision of who God is, you can receive. And it says right here in my Bible, it says, and that I am your servant, please let it be so. And that I have done all the things of your word. Hear me, O Lord. Excuse me. Holy Ghost. Hear me, that this people may know that You're a God. You ready for the next one? Here's the next thing you need to mark. That You have turned their heart back again. I want my heart turned back to God. It doesn't matter where you are with God, you need more of Him. Your heart needs to be rendered out to Him more. It's ridiculous to say you're satisfied. There's no possible way with what I've seen God do in the last few weeks and in the last few years to ever think that I'd be satisfied where I'm at. I am never. You can ask my wife. I am one of the most uncomfortable human beings. I am never satisfied. I've got. You know, you think all this fasting and prayer. How much is enough? How many nations are still going to hell? I'm telling you, I've been out there a long time and I ain't never run into nobody else doing it. Not in the woods where I work. That's sin. We need our heart back. Now look. And then after He did all that right, what happened? What's happening in verse 38? Somebody tell me. What happened? Fire. What is that? Look what it did. What did it do in y'all's Bible? Now look, I'm going to submit something to you elders in this work. I'm going to submit it to you right quick here. I'm fixing to give you a list of the five different kinds of hearts that there are. There are five hearts fixing to be listed. The first heart here is the sacrificed heart. That always you can count on them for anything, and they're always ready. They're always the first ones to receive. They receive healing quicker. They receive the touch of God. Anything God's doing, they're right there. That's the top layer. That's the first heart. It's the sacrificed heart. It's cut open. It's sliced open. It's laid out there above. And it's sitting there. And the first thing the fire hit was that heart. Because it was the heart that was prepared. It was the heart that's the most tender toward God. It's the heart that everybody's always fussing at. Because it's the heart that's always first and ready. It's the heart that receives the most criticism. It's the heart that receives the most judgment of humans because it receives first from God every time. Oh, that I would be that heart, please, Father God. The burnt sacrifice. The fire consumed the first heart. And there are many of these kind of hearts in this room, Pastor. The sacrificed heart. It's laid up there. It's wide open. Everybody reads it and everybody hurts it. But when the fire comes from heaven, God's the first one to touch it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, don't. Second kind of heart is the wood. Wood's a little bit harder, but it is combustible. There's enough fire put to it. It'll burn bright. It'll burn hot. It'll do lots of things. Wood will. You know, it's a heart. This is a different kind of heart than the sacrificed heart. It's the second heart to get hit. It is a little harder. But it got consumed right after the sacrificed heart did. The third heart, what is it? The stony heart. In this room right here, we have stony hearts. We have people that are so callous, they're so hurt, they're so offended, they're so tough. They want to be right, but can God touch their heart? They are so hurt, they are so offended, and they've been betrayed. They've been even given their place to the devil so much that they become so callous. They're so hard. That's the third thing. The fire consumed the rock. The fourth heart here is a lot of you in this building also. The dust. My Bible says the dust. Some of you in here, your self-esteem, your ability to receive, your ability to do anything is zero. You are the thing that the rock is placed on. You are the thing that the wood is placed on. You are the thing that the sacrificed heart is placed on. Many of you in here are the thing we all walk on. And I apologize to you about that dust heart. But you will be burned tonight too. And there's a lot of you in here, which is, if you'll listen to the content, the amount, more hearts are this way than any other way. The water is always there to put the fire out. It's saturating the sacrificed heart. It's covering even the wood heart. It's on the stone heart. The wood is always blocking the fire from getting to anything. Most people are this type of heart. The one that allows nothing to happen and tries to quench it at all costs because it didn't happen to me first. And that heart, I rebuke. There are five hearts here that's in the body of Christ. They're in this building tonight. And I submit to you that all five kinds of hearts God can penetrate with His holy fire.
Amen.
Can y'all even see what I'm talking about? It's as plain as day to me anymore. I can't believe I never saw that before. But it's there. If we could have just one prophet of God to stand up and dare to call down the fire, just maybe it would burn through all the hearts. What if? What if, saints? What if? I don't consider myself to be a prophet. I consider myself to be the dust. That's okay. I'm going to stand up before you tonight and ask God's fire to come and consume us. And I'm going to ask you, please, whatever your heart style is, whatever kind of heart you have, do not resist the Holy Ghost. If you're the water, please. Because my Bible says right here, it says, and licked up the water which was in the trench. That fire went right through that beautiful heart, the one that's the most easy and most pliable. Went into the harder, which is the wood. But it is combustible, has plenty of... You know, rocks don't have much combustible value. But, you know, once they get enough heat applied to them, they're very pliable. They can be formed into anything. Dust is the same way. It melts and becomes glass. And it becomes some of the most beautiful things and creations available. I'm telling you, and I want to submit this also to you, H2O in the right formula with the same ingredients is fire. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So you let God's fire hit you, and even if you are that water heart that's always looking to dampen things and because of your smugness, intelligence, and knowledge, put things out that God's trying to do. Please, I submit to you with all I can in my heart. Let God blow through us tonight. All right? That's as simple as it gets, Pastor. And I'm stopping. There are several more things we can talk about. We'll do that tomorrow if we get a chance. Now then, I really can't dictate this stuff. I wish I could. Just not that good. But what we're going to do here, you notice there wasn't a very whole lot of stories here? I am a very grave individual at this moment in my life with you. I am very serious. It is one of the greater desires of my heart for God to blow through here with His wind of fire tonight and consume us. In whatever way He desires. Whether laughter, whether crying, whether sobbing, whether mourning, whatever He desires, I wish it for us. Would you please stand up with me? In the name of Jesus. I want to pray with you just for a minute. Would you just lift your hands up to God a minute? God in heaven, I thank You for Your fire. God, I ask You to answer by fire and touch these different kinds of hearts here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask You for the mighty Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, Father, grant it by the blood of the Lamb of God.